Be seated, please. That's the where you want to be, holding on to God. Storms are fun when you're safe and you're in your house or you're in a big structured building or you're in a condo and you see the storm out there on the water way out there. It's neat to see. And when you're in a storm, though, it's not quite so fun. It's not quite so neat. So the main thing you got to do is hold on to God. Don't let go of Him because He won't let go of you. Thank you, brother, for leading that song. I love to hear all God's people singing. Amen. That's one of the greatest things about church to me is the songs that we sing, that we meditate on. Hopefully they stick in your heart and in your ear for later in the day, and you'll be able to hum these bars and remember that sentiment and continue praising the Lord and hold on to Him no matter what season of life you're in. Have kids, they said. It'll be fun, they said. Fatherhood opens up so many dimensions of life that if you're not a father, you don't understand. And there's no possible way. It's maybe like some third rail. It's almost like some weird quantum physics equation where you're suddenly on a different plane. You're on a different level. And this is true whether you've had children biologically or adopted them or even just taken in people from your family for a time being. If you have that responsibility and you see these people as they're growing, it changes things. It opens up areas of life that you never had any idea about. I see some heads nodding out there. It is fun, though, isn't it? It is fun. Look, some last week, you know, we were looking at one of the little babies here, one of the little families had, and they were showing them the video. Oh, look at yourself on the video. And it's the same reaction. And just how neat it is to see them learning and soaking things up. And you don't always know exactly what they're thinking, but it shows the creative nature of our Lord, doesn't it? To have people come into the world the way they do, and then to grow right before our very eyes, and to be so limited and so helpless and so vulnerable. It's just a good picture of us, I think. They can be challenging. Kids can be challenging. If you ever walked in and one of your kids is taped up on the wall, happens in my house all the time. We always run out of duct tape. And sometimes you just want to do that to them just to keep them out of your hair. I don't know. Would anybody get in trouble for doing this? Is this acceptable punishment? No? Okay. What about just discipline, not punishment, but just to keep them out of the pots and pans, you know, banging on those, pulling everything out of the cupboards. You got to childproof your house, put locks on all the doors, put little slippery handles on the doorknobs so they can't get out of the rooms they're not supposed to get out to. We lost Eli one time at Disneyland. I shouldn't tell this either, should I? Man, I always do that. But Melissa and Kezia were going to do something and look around, and Eli and I were napping in the room, and he was, I don't know, he may have been 2, 1.5 probably. He was just tall enough to wake up before I did from the nap and reach the hotel door handle and pull it down and squeeze out, and he was gone. He gone when I woke up. He was nowhere, and we found him, obviously, because he's still with us today, but it was not fun. And to think that you have lost a child who you're supposed to be caring for, not only the legal ramifications of that, but spiritually, I was really concerned that God was really going to be on my case. And finally, after tears and crying and running up and down the hallways and running up and down the steps and taking elevators up and taking elevators down, calling the front desk, trying to find out where in the world he might be, if I'll ever see him again, I didn't know. My main concern, I had 2 main concerns. One, what is Mrs. Neal going to do to me? And secondly, what is God going to do? You lost him? That day was a very good lesson for me about God's grace. I finally got down to the lobby and I looked in there, and there was Eli being held by one of the receptionists in the lobby at the big hotel. You know, thousands of rooms. This place was huge. Smiling away, you know, vrooming his little truck on her shoulder or whatever, and he sees me and his face lights up and, you know, Dad, you know, just like he's just had the best time wandering around the hotel and making new friends. And I'm sitting here, I was shaking and I was a mess. And I could almost hear God saying, Tim, you aren't capable of raising these boys. Obviously, I know that about you. But I'm here for you. And that's the message that I hope he gives to every one of you parents today, especially you fathers. Yes, you're going to make mistakes and not do things perfectly, but man, God's got a lot of grace, and he'll cover you because this mission of fatherhood is a very important one. We look at our children sometimes and we wonder, what in the world were you thinking? They have some sort of private logic that they get themselves into situations, and when they're doing that, it does. It makes sense to them, and sometimes they can even tell you what was going on. This little guy, he's sitting there thinking, I'm not sure what I was ever going after, how I got in this spot, but he's stuck. And kids get stuck in the weirdest spots. You can see it on their little face. They're so transparent. They wear their heart on their sleeves. This kid is really hurting. And you can see the sincerity in his face. Somebody said that looked like a young William Harrison. Is that true? Is that who this is? Is it you? We'll have to go over to see the family albums and see if this was somebody that we know. But what has happened here? What has happened to him? His ice cream fell off, didn't it? And so for me and you, that'd be like, well, I probably didn't need those calories anyway. I still have some ice cream in the bottom, and I like the cone. That's the best part. But man, for this little guy, he was absolutely heartbroken. And there's nothing you could do about it. And there's saying to him, Johnny, we're going to get an ice cream tomorrow. We'll be back next week. Just smile for your picture. We've come to Olin Mills Studio. We paid them to let us be here. Now shape up. Be happy. We want a good picture for Grandma and Grandpa. It's not going to work on him. All right. And so I think about these people from our perspective, and that helps me appreciate us from God's perspective. Has your sister ever colored all over your face? Are you sometimes surprised when you look in the mirror and that's your reflection that you're looking at? Anybody ever taped you up to the wall? You ever been stuck in the toilet? You ever dropped your ice cream cone? We whine and we do these things and we are just like kids from God's perspective. And that's why I think it's important for us to remember. Whoever's mom this was still loved him on this day. And when you're crying because your ice cream cone fell off, God still loves you too. In fact, he's holding on to you as you're holding on to him. Somebody once said that children are parents' last chance to grow up. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever felt like that's true? That you might not have grown up when you were growing up, but when you have children that you're responsible for, then something has to change because that's a big difference. And God's going to call parents to come out of their adolescence, and out of their immaturity, and out of their selfishness, into a life where you give to somebody else your entire existence. Where there's nothing more important than the welfare of the little ones who depend on you, especially not yourself. The things that we chase as young men and young women all fall off the side when we have people who are dependent on us. It comes right along here, crisis of belief. So many dads today aren't quite sure how to make this adjustment, how to get away from an immature, overgrown teenage boy into the life of a man, a godly man who's reliable, who's trustworthy, who shows solid stability and Christ-likeness. And I'm going to submit to you this morning that the answer is found in the pages of the Bible. And I hope that you don't ignore it. I hope that you will encourage people to look into it. Wives and mothers and people who have fathers in their life, send little encouragement cards. Write little notes. Thank you for being a dad. What a great work it is. It's one of the hardest jobs to do, and it's a job that many men are simply checking out of today. Not in the church, but in the culture. I was so encouraged this week at VBS, and if you didn't come by any, you really missed out. You ought to do that next year. Come by one night or two and check it out and look, because we had dads engaged in teaching those young people. Not all the dads could be, a lot of them worked, but there were a lot that were there. And it was a whole family affair. And the impact that that makes on a church is tremendous. The impact that that makes in a family is tremendous. The impact that we need to make in the community is not going to be made without active dads. So you have a crisis of belief, somebody else, and their life matters more than mine. How will I adjust? How will you get back to God's upper story from the low story that you had been on? It's a high calling. Here's what you're supposed to be. Good luck being all these things every day. So the church is here to help you to grow in your faith as a person
and as a dad.
And one of the best ways that we can help you become this type of person, which God needs us to be, is here. I'd like to give you 5 verses this morning. 3 of them are exhortation. 2 of them are very practical. How do I do this? Here's the first 3. Train up your child in the way that he should go. The promise here is given that you might not always do everything perfectly, but the gist, the essence of what you build into your children as they're growing in their formative years will last, will stay with them, will have an impact, and will affect them. Is this an all-the-time, 100% sure promise? No, I wish it were, but we've seen examples already where good-hearted, loving God parents raised children up who completely just didn't care and just stomped on their hearts and ran their own way. And obviously, there's no fault of the parents who did their best. But the promise is here for everybody that what you taught them when they were growing up will always be with them. And who knows, but that after you pass away and your children are then old, those lessons might then start to take root. Finally, after all those years. I like this promise. I like this hope. It says 2 things. It says to me as a young dad, when I'm training my children, I'm on the right track. But it says to me as an old dad, when my kids are already grown, that if I tried to train my children, even though I didn't do it perfectly, even though they may be walking in a way I don't approve of or disapprove of, that all hope is not lost. Because the impact of what you do in a child growing up can still have long-lasting effects, longer than you even. So dads, take every opportunity to build into your children. Yeah, it might take an extra 5, an extra 10 minutes a day. It might cause you to be late for something. But think about the exponential ramifications of taking that time in their life down the road. How about this one from Psalm 103, verse 13? A lot of people feel like God's not really very caring, that he's not sensitive. Maybe you feel like God's not really noticing you and your life, that you don't matter. Perhaps there's some things in your life that you think are amiss, and so you don't have the right to speak to God or to know God or to commune with God and to have that fellowship with him. As a father has compassion on his children, so does the Lord have compassion on those who respect him. If you've ever been in a room with a bunch of young kids and they are the typical new young kids that are sassy and disrespectful, I would imagine most of you were raised in a part of the country where they said yes ma'am and yes sir and looked at you in the eye. If you were an adult, ought to be done still today, but it's not very often. But you can tell when a young person has a degree of respect for authority. You can see it. You can hear it in their answers. You can watch it in their mannerisms. You can see it in their life, in the decisions that they make, and the friends that they keep. And if you have respect for God, that'll show in your life. And God can sense that. He knows. And the best way to look at him is thankfully, as one who has compassion on you. Just like a dad, you know, the little kid stuck in the toilet. Anybody here going to leave him in the toilet? Don't answer that if you would. I know a couple people back there that might. No, you're going to have compassion. You're going to go up there, you're going to pull him out, wipe him off, and change his pants. Tell him, look, we don't play in the toilet, we play in the dryer. You need to get these things straight, okay? How about this? Discipline. No discipline is enjoyable, but it's still a part of actually growing. It's a part of becoming more mature. It's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. If you're a dad here this morning, I'd recommend that you make note of those 3 verses, and I'll show you 2 more for practical application for your own life. But that's a very important principle, that discipline when the children are young and when they're growing can help lead them to a right life when they're grown. Is it foolproof? No. Everybody makes their own decisions. But the Bible here is guiding us along these ways. I think we should hear it and try to walk in it. Practically, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you train? How do you have compassion? How do you provide discipline as a father? I think this is the key, especially in today's culture. And man, you have to be strong. You have to be courageous. You have to be unafraid, because the Lord God is with you in all your efforts. I know husbands who have gotten discouraged because their wives don't support them in their role as a father. Don't let that stop you. You still have a role as a father. And God is the one who's encouraging you. So be strong and be courageous. Secondly, Be steadfast. Be immovable. This is from 1 Corinthians. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. When our children grow up, parents, fathers especially, what would they say is the number one thing and is the value to us as their dads? Did they grow up seeing you go to church? Did they grow up seeing you serve people less fortunate? Did they grow up seeing you give of your resources? Did they grow up seeing you at the dinner table with your Bible? Did they grow up seeing you do anything with the Lord? Did they grow up seeing you seeing God? That's why he says, be immovable, be steadfast, abounding in the work of the Lord. That nothing, men, let nothing distract you from being God's man. Some of you have sons that aren't little anymore, and you hear me talking about the formative years. When do the formative years stop? I guess when life stops. Maybe you get to the point where you're old and your brain, you know, ossifies and solidifies, and you no longer live, you learn anything new anymore. But I'm 40, and I'm still learning. I'm still being shaped. I'm still being molded. I look at some of our guys back here who have sons that are grown, and I think, man, that is really neat that you get to continue being a dad. Your job as dad is not done when they turn 18. So, be steadfast, be immovable. They are still watching. My sisters had a little statue when they were growing up. It was gone by the time I got there. I don't know where it was, but it said, any man can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a daddy. And it was on my dad's dresser. And whenever he did something, grounded them or told them they couldn't be on the phone or, you know, whatever it was, they'd be mad at him. And they'd go in there and they'd turn that little statue face down so they didn't have to look at it. That was their signal to him, you're not being a daddy here right now. And I thought that was so funny when I saw this slide because it is true, isn't it? There's an extra level of effort. There's an extra level of intentionality. There's an extra level of go-to-it-ness. When you want to be a dad, when you want to make an impact as a father. And I think that kids need dads. The world needs dads. Wives need to see dads that are engaged. The church needs to see dads that are engaged. And we have a lot of them here, and I'm thankful for that. We need dads who are looking ahead not only at the life of their child, but saying, how can I raise the next generation of elders for the church? Are we thinking this way? What are we discipling? I would love to raise a baseball player. I hope my kid goes to Florida State and plays basketball. I hope my daughter raises, you know, goes to Florida State and she's a cheerleader. Are we thinking spiritually about our children and the roles of leadership in the church as they grow? We have some really neat elders. Matter of fact, if our elders could come forward now, we want to highlight a couple of the young babies who are under a year old. And so we would like to just our elders to stand here, and then we'll call the young people up, because we have a number of families here in Palo Alto who are doing this very thing. And we want to bless their babies and commend them and show you them as a church. Some of them couldn't bring them all up here, but we want to do this. Would BJ and Bryson Livingston be able to come in? I think they're... We have one that's floating here and one that are out there. If you haven't seen little Bryson, he's the most complete little baby. He's a handsome little man, full head of hair, just really looks good. And the special relationship that exists between a father and a son, you can see in all of these people. Is BJ able to be here this morning? He's in the bathroom. Yeah, that's good. Look at this little guy sleeping right here. We look at him, thank you, Miss Summer, and we just see a helpless little child. But if you had the wisdom and the foresight of some people who are over 60 or 70 or 80 years old, you would look at him and you would realize that tomorrow, basically, he may be one of these guys. It goes so fast. And so the intentionality that they're raising Bryson with, we commend, and we want to celebrate that and ask God to continue to bless him and them. And then you got little Rex as well. Here he comes being delivered to Hunter. Now this little guy, if you look at him, and I hope in the luau you get a chance to talk to some of these little boys. He has no problem expressing himself. And when you look in his eyes, he's with it. He has some sort of awareness. I don't know if God gifts them when they're babies or if he gives it older, but he may have some sort of discernment gift. And he knew right then he didn't want to do that, did he? Thad Stokes and Stephanie had another little child, a little baby, Nora. Where do you think she learned to be so happy? Huh? Any guesses? Oh, from her big sister. Good job. All right. Yep. Good job. Now, are they around? Am I overlooking? There we go. Likes to make his entrance. There she comes. Yes, that's right. Why don't you have a bow in your hair?
I don't have any hair.
All right, all right. Yeah. Okay, so why are these people, these families, these babies up here? Sure, come on up. Big sister, you're responsible for this too. Why are they here? Well, we wanted to bring everybody up. These little babies are under a year. We haven't blessed them yet. We haven't prayed over them. And so we want to do that, first of all, to let you guys as a congregation see them in the context of their family. It's all children's church and nursery classes and all this stuff. So this is a precious thing. To me, this is one of the most special things about being God's church, is we celebrate life. We celebrate discipleship making. We celebrate family. We are a family. Okay, and so when it comes to these men and their moms and these little babies, the world needs to see this happening. These men are all engaged in the lives of their family, and I'm so thankful for that. And with these men and these women following God and raising up these young people, this is going to make a difference in the kingdom. And this church is filled with this type of effort. And so I thank you out there in the pews, even if you're not in a family spot right now, for supporting what's going on in the life of these little ones, and for teaching and for supporting and praying. So if you look up at the screen, it says, a man of God aims at righteousness, godliness, gentleness, steadfastness, love, and fights the good fight of faith. And that's what I see in each of you men. So thank you. We'd like to pray a prayer of blessing on the unsettled ones among us. And to ask you guys to continue on this road, all right? BJ and Hunter and Thad, thank you for being the fathers that you are, for setting the example, and for keeping this rope pulled tight. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the preciousness of life. Oh, for little Bryson and little Rex and little Nora, we praise you for their life, and we thank you for welcoming them into your fold, into the Palo Alto family. Help us to be good stewards of these little lives. Help us to continue to encourage their moms and their dads. And today especially, we pray for their fathers, that they would continue to be men of God, seeking righteousness, pursuing relationship with their family and with church family and with you. And we, Lord, ask this day that you would cover them with a great blessing for their life, that these little people right up here might someday be the future leaders of this congregation. Help us to live, love, and serve in a way that might make that possible. And bless these families, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for coming up. Thank you, elders. Fathers, live like God, okay? How do we know how God would live? Well, he sent his son to show us. And so that's what we got to do. You got to be there for your son, just like God was there for his son. Be there for your daughter, just like God is there for his daughters. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ can reshape you. None of us is perfect. But if we think we need to do a lot of changing, you're in the right place. Here's a message from one of the prophets that we've been looking at, Isaiah. Oh Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. All of us in here are the work of your hand. The tiniest ones among us, and the biggest and oldest ones among us. All works of God's hands. And to God, we're all like little children, just sweet little Noras with little bows in our hairs. Sometimes we get stuck in the toilet. Sometimes we draw on each other's faces. But God helps us forgive for that and to go on in good fellowship. This morning, if there's anything that the church can do to encourage you, you don't even have to be a father. If there's anything that we can do for you to help you get on the right road or stay on the right road, or if you just want to celebrate what God's doing in your life and you want to openly thank the church or ask the church for prayers or support or whatever it might be this morning, we want to help you to make the next step in your walk of faith with Jesus Christ. And we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.